If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Before I get to my next guest, Billy Mayfair, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Srixon. Your best performance starts with the right golf ball at Srixon. A global leader in golf ball technology and innovation, Srixon offers a wide variety of award-winning golf balls for golfers of every skill level. Whether you're searching for a tour performance golf ball or a distance golf ball with incredible feel, Srixon provides the best golf balls at incredible prices. Srixon offers a wide variety of personalized options, while also developing a highly visible colored golf ball as well. Select the right golf ball for your game today and trust it with Srixon. Check them out online at srixon.com. S-R-I-X-O-N.com. Find the right golf ball for your game today. All right, now joining me here on Next on the Tee is Champions Tour Pro Billy Mayfair. Let me give you some background on Billy. He's from Phoenix, Arizona. By age 15, he had become such a great junior player that Boys Life magazine featured him on the cover. Played his college golf at Arizona State, where his 1986-87 scoring average of 70.59 is still among the best in school history. He won the 1986 U.S. Amateur Public Links Tournament. In 1987, he won the U.S. Amateur by beating Eric Redmond 4-3 at Jupiter Hills Golf Club. And he won back-to-back Pacific Coast Amateur Championships in 1987 and 88. In 87, he won the Haskins Award for being the nation's best collegiate golfer. He turned pro in 1988, and he won five times out on the PGA Tour, the first one coming at the 1993 Greater Milwaukee Open, then twice in 1995 at the Western Open and the Tour Championship, which was played that year at Southern Hills Country Club. Won twice again in 1998 at the Nissan Open when he became the only player to ever defeat Tiger Woods in a playoff. He won again later that year at the Buick Open. Billy has also finished second 19 times on the regular and Champions Tours combined. He's had 90 top 10s and 232 top 25. Today, the Arizona Golf Association presents the Billy Mayfair Trophy for the local player with the lowest weighted scoring average. And I'm excited he is with me tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Billy, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for having me. I've really been thrilled and looking forward to this.
I appreciate you very much. So, Billy, let's start by going all the way back to the beginning. As a kid growing up in Phoenix, who is the one that sparked your love for the game?
I used to love to go out to the Phoenix Open when it was at the old Phoenix Country Club and watch the guys play and how well they hit it on the range and all that. And I really fell in love with guys like Miller Barber, Gene Littler, Tom Weisskopf, Johnny Miller. Those were the guys I kind of looked up to. But, growing up, it was Jack. I mean, every time Jack got in contention, the look, the swag, the golf swing and just the way he putted and just made putts. I mean, he was my idol growing up. And, I fortunately have gotten a few times to play with him and be around him and it's a thrill. But growing up, it was Jack Nicklaus for me.
So, Billy, to your point, when you get your first opportunity to go play with your idol, what's that like? What's going through your mind? What's going through your stomach? How do you draw it back when your idol is right there watching you play?
It's hard. You know, he's watching it and he's critiquing you and all that. And I was fortunate enough a while back while I was in college that I got to open up one of the golf courses up at Desert Mountain with Jack and got to play with him in a twosome and with a lot of people around. And I didn't sleep very much the night before. Let's just say that I've been in a lot of pressure situations, but that might have been one of the top five right there for sure. But, you know, Jack was wonderful to me. He made me relax. We had a great time. And actually after the exhibition, we sat around and ate brownies and Coke for about 2 hours discussing stuff. And that was the time of my life right there.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So Billy, was Arizona State always the place you wanted to play your college golf because you were such a great junior player I have to imagine every country around the, or every school around the country was recruiting you.
Yeah, I got a lot of offers. I think I had something close to about 20, 25 different offers from all around and narrowed it down to about two or three. But, the two things that really made my decision to go to Arizona State was one, obviously my instructor, Arch Watkins, was right there. So I got to always have him in my backyard. And two, I knew all the golf courses there in Arizona. I knew the ones we were going to qualify on and all that. So, and it was just like a home field advantage for me. So it, and of course the weather too, but, it was a hard decision, but it was great. I know I made the right decisions. A lot of guys go to college and they make the wrong decisions where they go, but I made the right decision to go to Arizona State.
Billy, when I was doing the research for you coming on tonight, I went back and I looked at the 87 U.S. Amateur and I looked at a lot of the USGA tournaments that you played in, the Opens and whatnot. And you made a bunch of pars and a couple of birdies coming down the stretch at the 87 U.S. Amateur, which I think is indicative of your style in USGA events. No big numbers. Pars usually a really good score at a USGA event. Was patience your strategy then? And when you were playing in USGA events, kind of let your opponents make the mistakes?
Well, yeah, kind of. I never, growing up, even in college, when I never really hit the ball all that far. I hit it very, really, really straight. I hit a lot of good iron shots and putted very well. So when you have that formula, there's days you're going to make some putts or not. But, I had a formula where I when the USGA came along and they were hard, hard golf courses, I got the ball in the fairway. I hit it in the right spots for the green. And, if I didn't make the birdie putt, I made the par. And in match play, you can win a lot of holes with par. So, and, even when I was low amateur at the Brookline in 87, when Curtis won, it was another golf course. I finished two over par for the week. And, just hit a lot of fairways, a lot of greens, and made a lot of pars.
And Billy, going back to your days at Arizona State, a lot of great players have come out of ASU. Mm-hmm. You, Phil Mickelson, John Rahm, Paul Casey, Pat Perez, Howard Twitty, Bob Gilder, Joanne Carner, Tom Pertzer, who's become a wonderful friend of the show. And I could go on and on. Talk about the rich golf history at Arizona State.
Well, we do. Kind of growing up in the Valley, I got, to see a lot of it, firsthand and go to the tournaments. And I remember watching, Corey Pavin, he played at UCLA, but I remember watching Howard Twitty and Pertzer. And, when they were playing at ASU, I was young enough to kind of go out there and watch them play. Even when I wasn't in college yet, I'd be out at Papago where they were practicing and kind of got to see everyone out there and be around it and all that. So, it's a rich history. I'm very proud to be a Sun Devil. And I think the tradition keeps on continuing. I think they're doing a great job there now. But college golf, as you know, Chris, college golf is a lot since, when I went to school. So, there's a lot of programs out there that we never heard of that now are top notch just because of the facilities and all that. But, I was real proud to be a Sun Devil and I enjoyed it and to be part of the heritage and the tradition there is an honor for me.
Billy, like I mentioned in your intro, you're the only player to ever beat Tiger Woods in a playoff. Knowing you're the only one to do it, it's got to bring a smile to your face every time someone like me reminds you about it. Talk about what that meant to you and now being able to reflect back on it, how much that brings a smile to your face even to this day.
Oh, it does right now. Even when you said it in the intro, when you said it now, it just brings a huge smile to my face. It was, at the time when I beat him in the playoff, you never realize what it all means and all that. And then, as time went along and Tiger's done what he's done just phenomenally out there and all that. But one of the funny stories I'll tell you that we were at a tournament not too long ago and, I was sitting there eating lunch and Tiger came down and sat next to me and he said, I hope you don't mind me sitting with you. You're the only one I can't intimidate. So, that's always nice. And like I said, Tiger's such a class act and he handles things very well. And you learn a true champion, not by when he wins, but when he loses. And that's what I guess I learned the most from Tiger Woods. I beat him. But he handled the loss so well and treated me so well afterwards. And all through my career, I respect the guy more because I beat him than for what he's done winning,
And Billy, is the opposite side of that coin. I imagine the 95 Phoenix Open when you finished second to Vijay to be so close in what had to be a home game for you. I imagine it's a different kind of pressure trying to bring home a win in front of the home crowd than if you're trying to win somewhere else. What do you remember about that week?
Well, I remember I was struggling in the first part of the week and kind of found a golf swing coming on, you know, about Thursday and just really played well and handled the pressure and the crowds very, very well. And, I made a good put down on 18 out of the bunker to get in the playoff. And in the playoff, I hit it left of the green and decided to chip it because there was a sprinkler head there. And it's funny. I was out at TPC Scottsdale a few weeks ago and I stood there in the same spot on 18 and still think about should I have putted it or should I have chipped it? So, it's been a long time and I still kick myself for letting that one get by me.
You also nearly won your first ever event out on the Champions Tour, the 2016 U.S. Senior Open at Scioto Country Club. You finished tied for second that week, one behind Gene Sowers, and you were one of only four players to finish under par that week. Very nearly made a hole in one on the ninth hole in the final round, which probably wins that golf tournament for you. What do you remember about that week and that shot?
Well, it was a great week. I was fortunate enough to get to play in the U.S. Senior. They had to move it back because of the Olympics, so which made it back in August, which allowed me to turn 50 so I could play in it. And I had played Scioto before. I knew the golf course very well because Jack's being there and all that. But I was just so happy to be out on the Champions Tour. I was happy to be not only on a Champions Tour, to play in a U.S. Open and a U.S. Open at Scioto. It was just exciting. And I prepared very hard. I flew back early, played the golf course. I was ready for that tournament. And, like you said, a few more putts or one putt or one shot goes in the hole. You know, we could have got that win, but you know, it was a good start to the Champions Tour career.
And Billy, this is your sixth year out there, I believe, out on the Champions Tour. And when I talk to your peers, they talk about it being probably more fun than playing out on the regular tour. I mean, you still want to beat the brains out of the guys you're playing against starting on Friday, but you get to play against the guys you competed against for years. Is it more fun for you out there on the Champions Tour than it was on the regular tour?
Yeah, it's a lot less stressful. I mean, there's only 3 days instead of four. You know, all the guys in the field, there'll be a field anywhere from 78 guys to 80. And you probably know every guy in the field and have played with them at some time or another. And, yes, we're very competitive out there and we still all want to play well and all that. But the nice part too is after the round to sit in the locker room and everyone kind of talk still and tell old stories and all that. That's probably one of the most fun we have out there in the Champions Tour is when we all get to talk to each other in the locker room.
Billy, I saw your driving distance. You're averaging 274 yards so far this year. You averaged 278 last year. How different is that from how far you drove it when you were playing in college and when you first came out on the PGA Tour?
Well, actually, Chris, I think I hit it further now than I did when I was on the big tour. Sometimes when they've moved some tees back and made them, I still hit it in the same spot, even though we're another 20 yards further back. And I think a lot of it has to do with the equipment, obviously the drivers and the golf ball. But my wife has been very strict with me to stay in good shape and to work out and to stay healthy and so that we can play for a long time. I'd love to play on the Champions Tour until I'm 60, 61 years old. But I know that in order to do that, I got to be competitive. And all I got to look at someone's like Bernhard Langer and how good a shape he's in all the time. But I like I said, I think a little bit has to do with the equipment and all that. But I've been really hard. I've been working hard to stay in good shape. So I think that helps it too, the distance.
Billy, when I look back over your playing career and I zero in on your putting style, it's got an evolution to it. Talk about how your putting stroke has evolved over the year.
Well, I think the great quote by Gary McCord, he used to call it the rockabilly. And to me, when I stroke the putt before with a shorter putter, it looked straight back and straight through to me. But obviously, when the camera got hold of it, it was different. Sometimes my practice strokes were just perfect back and through, and then when I would hit the actual putt, it was a different type of stroke. I think my eyes then, I've learned to train my eyes a little bit different since then. And there are times when I don't have good days of putting. I wish maybe I could go back to that rockabilly stroke every once in a while. But, you know, it was something that worked every time. I could do it consistently. And I know Tom was just on a minute ago talking about you know, instructions and all that. And so he would say the short game is the most important thing, but you know, you just have to repeat that putter and repeat it and repeat it. And that's what I was able to do with that odd stroke.
And Billy, you're no stranger to battling health challenges. You successfully beat testicular cancer. Talk about how you were able to win that battle.
Well, I was very fortunate. My wife and I were together, and we kind of noticed a large lump, you know, down a little bit further of me, and we got it looked at, and we caught it while it was still encapsulated. We got it taken care of. I had to go through some chemotherapy and all that, but knock on wood, for 8 years now, I've been clean and very happy. So I the blessing for me, 13 years, that was that we caught it early. And that's what I'm very blessed about, was that we caught the cancer early enough to kick it and not affect my life too much.
And Billy, a couple of years ago, you also learned that you're on the autism spectrum. Talk about being a high-functioning person on that spectrum.
Well, this is something that's been that obviously learning that you have autism at age 52 is kind of a shell shock, but it's really helped me in my life and making sense of a lot of things that I did when I was younger, when I was, you know, in college, when I was going to college. And it's allowed me to make sense more of why I do the things that I do and why golf has been such a great sport for me. I think because of autism, I think that has actually helped me in my golf game. It's helped me focus better at times. But a lot of times I would wonder why I did certain things. And now that I know, because of the autism, to me, why I did some of those things. But I think the biggest thrill for me is learning more about it and now getting a chance with my wife and I to help people with autism, to help kids, to help their families, and to kind of give back a little bit to help people with this disease or this disability.
And Billy, you're such a wonderful speaker and you do such great interviews. How did you and your wife come to the conclusion that you needed to get tested?
Because she lives with me every day. You know, if you read most things on high functioning autism, I mean, you and I talk, or you know, you see me every once in a while, you would never know it. But if you lived with me, I can be a little testy at times, and I realize that. But my wife kind of caught on to it. She saw things, and then after we were tested, it made a lot more sense to me and all that. But like I said, I'm very high functioning, but if you would notice me a little bit different at times if you were around me a lot more, I think.
So, Billy, what's next for you this season? What's next up?
Well, we're home for a couple of weeks now, and we have a new tournament in Biloxi, Mississippi, on the Champions Tour. New golf course down there, Jack Nicklaus design, and we're anxious for that. That's about 2 weeks away, and then we kind of get the Champions Tour kind of gets in full swing. We got a new tournament down in Dallas. And of course, Houston, and then our first major there in Alabama. So the Champions Tour is time to get going, and we're anxious, and I'm looking forward to a great year.
So, Billy, how can our listeners stay up to date with you and follow you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
To show up. I'm on Twitter quite a bit. I try to do a lot of things, and we have a Mayfair Family Foundation at outlook.com that people can and hook on if they're interested in more about the autism spectrum and our foundation. But, you know, I'm on social media and I love talking to people and doing a lot of neat things.
Well, Billy, it's been a thrill having you as part of the show tonight. I hope you'll come back and join me again sometime. It's been a lot of fun. There's so much more I'd like to get into with you about your career. Hopefully we get that privilege of having you back.
Well, I hope so, Chris. Thank you so much. I've listened to your show many times. You do a great job. And as Tom said before me, you're one of the best. And we as golfers really respect guys who respect us. And that's hard. It's hard out there, especially in the world that we live in. And thank you for always being such a good guy and understanding and doing a good job. Yes. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Billy. All the best to you and your wife. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you, Chris. Take care.
You too, Billy. That's the great Billy Mayfair. And folks, you can follow him on Twitter @BMayfairGolf. You can find him there. A lot of great stuff there tonight. Billy's a wonderful player. And as you heard, a really great person. And we've only barely unpacked some of the stuff from his career. So I really look forward to having him back on the show again, like I say, hopefully real soon.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.